If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome in. It is the Big Bad Morning Show. Jeremy Kahn and Ed Norris. Ed, how are you?
I'm all right, man. How you doing?
Good. It's kind of like that feeling out process just to make sure you're there. It's like, Ed Norris is here. And then you pause and wait to hear. But no, it's good to have you back, man. And it's going to be you and I today. And I feel like there's so much to talk about. Before we get into anything, how are you feeling? How was your weekend?
I feel good, man. Fine. Just, you know, wait for this incision to heal up properly. Just that's the only thing I got left. Everything else seems pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw all the messages on Facebook. I know because, like, different people get tagged in different things, but when they posted that you were back last week, you got a lot of really nice messages from people, whether you saw them or not.
I saw some of them in the beginning, yeah. It's nice. It really, for all this stuff we kid about, people were really nice about this. And yeah. It seemed like they genuinely cared. I got a lot of personal messages. I saw the message on Facebook and Instagram and stuff. It's been great.
On Instagram, though, one person said, "Oh, awesome. A really lovely moment that Jeremy ruined with a penis joke." Everybody liked the comment.
Screw that guy. Whatever. When is it not appropriate to have a penis joke?
I laughed.
Thanks. I'm just sitting here, you know, thinking about going through all this and what you've been dealing with and all those messages that people said. For every person that sent a nice message, Ed, because I wasn't sure if you saw it or not, I sent him back the De Niro gif from Analyze This. You're good. You're good. Anyway, but it's so for right now, it's just kind of pain tolerance.
Well, it's more than that. It's okay. The threat of infection.
All right.
You got to remember, this is an enormous. This isn't like they just cut you open and put something in. They're taking a huge bunch of flesh out, so it's a lot to heal, and you got to be careful with the infection. So that's the only concern right now.
All right. Well, good. Well, it's good to have you back. But this was kind of a busy weekend. I don't know. Obviously, there's so many stories we're going to get into. We have the national championship tonight. We'll talk more about the Orioles and losing 2 out of 3 in Kansas City, and of course, Ovi breaking the record. I had my mom's birthday party this weekend, and if I can just say this because I haven't stopped thinking about this, one of my cousins through marriage has her own cupcake place, and she made a banana pudding cupcake, and I'm not even kidding that I haven't stopped thinking about that damn thing since Saturday night. It was so effing good. This is what gets me excited in my mid-40s is food. What the hell is wrong with me, man? Nothing gets me excited but a damn cupcake. So it was fun kind of celebrating my mom's birthday, actually figuring out how old she is. Jesus, Mom, you're old. But, yeah, and getting around family was kind of cool.
So, yeah, it always is.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, for me, I've said this before, like, I'm kind of separated from everything, like where we live, and I just don't leave my house much. So I've been trying to force myself to get out. And, again, it was kind of fun just busting balls and making fun of everyone at dinner. My one aunt who you met. I'll tell everybody this. I say she looks like Tom
Petty. American Girl?
Yeah, she looks like Tom Petty with breasts. I'm sorry, Aunt Teresa. I don't even think any of us call her aunt. We just say, Teresa, what's wrong with you? But apparently, there's some stories I can't tell in the air. But apparently with her, she had a couple of incidents where she got really drunk and stupid things happened. So they always get brought up. But when we were at this restaurant, we were at the Venetian Palace in Edgewood, an Italian restaurant that my mom used to pick up food for us all the time when we were kids. And She ordered crab cakes, and the guy said, how do you want them done? She goes, I didn't know you could choose that. Can I guess medium? And he said, no, broiled or fried, lady. How do you want them done? And they didn't hesitate. My mom's husband, as soon as they, my stepfather, as soon as they went over and asked him, he said, I'll have a steak, broiled, not fried. It's like, oh, God. But, yeah, so it was a good time this weekend with all the sports that was going on. But getting back that Saturday night to try to watch those two college basketball games, man, what a doozy both of them were.
How about them Gators, man?
Woo, buddy. And we get a national championship that I'm not sure a lot of people had, but that's what makes it fun. I know we're going to get into the Orioles coming up, but do you want to touch briefly on what your day was like yesterday? Because I was telling Joe, I'm not a big record guy. If it's one of my favorite players or a guy on my team, yeah, I love seeing it. But the chase for it is kind of cool. But I'm not the type of guy that's going to keep tuning in for every hockey game waiting for him to score a goal. I'll wait for ESPN to tell me what
I did.
And
I
watch
did.
It.
I absolutely did.
But this is your sport, though, too.
Yeah, like, it's just – it's a lot of things. It's just – look, I'm not a big Caps fan. I root for them now because, you know, they're a local team. And, like, mm-hmm. so, you know, there's that. But I'm a huge Ovechkin fan. Always have been. And – I made sure I was out. I was just running, you know, errands and, you know, just doing stuff for the house, grocery shopping, stuff like that. I made sure I got home in time to turn that game on.
Was that an odd start time, though, on a Sunday, like 12th? Did they do that on purpose?
No, there's daytime. There's day games on the weekends.
Because I'm just saying, usually I think they're 1 o'clock or later. I just didn't remember noon or 12:30.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, that I don't know.
Okay.
But the problem was I tuned in because there was rumor they were going to sit him so he could break the record at home. So I was a little worried he wasn't going to play, and then he, you know, obviously did, and he did it, and he's just deadly from that left face-off circle. It's cool, and I like watching greatness. I just do. It just to me, and this is a great record. To me, it's a great sport, and I know we'll talk more about it later. But just, it's a different thing, man. For all these petty douchebags in other sports, you know, you watch this sport, he breaks the record. On the Islanders' ice, the fans gave an ovation. The goalie hugged him. Everyone in the Islanders came over and hugged him. You don't have this fake tough guy stuff shooting fake AK-47s at each other. Really, I'm so sick of this crap in professional sports now. This is why I love hockey, because there's such sportsmanship. And when it was over, when the ceremony was over and the hugging was over, they were slamming each other into the boards. It was scrums. It was right back to business.
Yeah, it's that.
It just, there's no need for the other nonsense.
It's that weird thing in that sport, and also like most of the time in MMA or boxing, where you watch these guys beat the crap out of each other and then all of a sudden start hugging. You're going, I couldn't do that. Who do you?
Yeah, because
like
they're real
guy.
Tough guys.
Yeah.
They're genuine tough guys. They're not Ja Morant.
Yeah.
You know, it's just. It's a different thing.
Well, one of my favorite things is how shocked people are at how expensive the tickets get when there's a high demand. And Joe, you were kind of pointing that out, right? Like the tickets for the Islanders, if you hadn't bought them earlier on, what were they, like 10 times the amount of what you would normally expect for a game like that?
It wasn't as much as you probably would have thought if they would have played at home. Like, I think the game on Friday night, like the cheapest ticket was like $220.
But that's way up there, right?
Yeah, you would have been. It was like the last two or three rows.
What would you say those tickets on a normal night, 40 or 50 bucks?
50
or?
Bucks.
Okay. Yeah, probably. Yeah. Depending on who the opponent is.
Yeah, because I was seeing the $1,000, $2,000 once you start getting up closer to the glass, and those tickets get pretty ridiculous. But I'm happy for those people that spent all that money, because again, that's the worst part of it is like you spend all the money to be there, and it's like it didn't happen today, so now you got to wait for the next one.
Let me tell you, the Caps may win the cup this year.
Not if they keep playing like they've been playing. Did you hear Joe's update? He didn't even have to say it twice, and I got it. Sorry, Joe. Oh, it's early. It's still early.
A douche.
Yeah, they. What is it? 5 out of 6, Joe. That they lost.
5 out of 7.
5 out of 7. My bad. It must not have heard you the first time or the second time. Ed, you think they actually have a legit shot at making that run?
100%. Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's weird.
You don't get a handful of games left. I mean, they get 107 points. They win the best records in the NHL. Absolutely. Yeah. Once it's playoff time, it's a new season.
All right. Well, we're gonna.
This is like they're creeping in. I mean,
But I'm just saying how they've been playing late. I know how people can go, they're playing like crap now. But I think you get past this goal thing.
5-4-1 the last 10. Yeah. I mean, they're not terrible.
All right. Well, hey, we're going to talk more about Ovechkin breaking the record and dive a little deeper into it. Got national championship talk. The World of Stupids at 6:45. But up next, we're going to talk some birds. We'll take your phone calls as well. 410-583-1057. They drop another series in Kansas City. 1-2 there. Pitching does not look good. We talk about it next here on The Fan. Well played, Joe. Keep your head up. It's still early, which I've heard a lot of people don't want to hear. Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris here. It's a Big Bad Morning Show. Ed, losing 2 out of 3. The starting pitching didn't look good overall. Do you have any level of concern this early in the season with the Orioles?
Yeah, I do. I really do. It's not because of the record, which, because it's early. You know, I always kind of just blow that off. You know, spring training and then early in the season. Then they're 4-6. Doesn't really matter. It's 10 games out of 162. However, pitching doesn't look good.
No.
You know, it just does not look good. And I don't know. I mean, I just
only
don't...
two of your starters right now. Eflin's look good in both starts.
Yeah.
Tommy looked good in this past one, which really helps his numbers. He didn't get beat up in his first start, but it wasn't like he was great or anything. The other guys all have ERAs over 5.
Yeah, or 9.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't count that high. I wasn't able to get my other shoe off. What you said I think is very fair, because so many people get caught up in the record and, oh, my God, they're in last place. And it's like, yeah, and they're 2 games out of first or whatever it is. You know, it's
2.5. It's ridiculous. It's nothing.
It's so early. And God bless it. I was so happy the Pirates found a way to win yesterday after blowing a 4-1 lead in the ninth. It's like, it's almost like it feels that when teams are playing the Yankees, they consistently do this. And I don't know if you saw the Red Sox in the nightcap. They scored 18 runs. So they swept a doubleheader against the Cardinals yesterday. But yeah, it's very early. If you said the pitching wasn't a concern, I'd call you a liar. Looking at the way things have gone, and yes, it is still very early, and things can change up. I mean, if you look at Cade Povich from start 1 to start 2, it looks like 2 totally different pitchers. But then again, you've got a young guy in the rotation right now to go along with a couple of vets who aren't performing well.
Yeah, I expect Eflin to pitch well, and he has. But to me, that's kind of it. It's kind of, it begins and ends with him. There's no more Corbin Burns. You don't have Grayson. Eflin's the guy. You know, I was happy when he came. He's fulfilled his promise. You know, the what we thought he'd be when he got here. But you need 5-6 pitchers. You just do, because guys get worn out. They're banged up during the season. You can't do it with just 1 or 2 guys in the rotation. It's a 5-man rotation.
Well, all right. So this is something that I think legitimately I've heard fans argue about. So yesterday's a perfect example of, you had a starting pitcher who has reverse splits. And for people that don't understand it, what that means is that a right-handed pitcher that gets hit harder by right-handers instead of left-handers and vice versa. There's a handful of those guys in the league, most notably that fans here would remember is Kevin Gausman. He got hit harder by right-handers than he did lefties, and it's just, it's one of those weird anomalies where that, I guess they see the ball coming out of his hand better, but you really do need a large sample size for that. And they had that yesterday with Bubich, and but when you look at a pitcher like that, why didn't they stack the lineup? Why didn't they put a guy like Cedric Mullins in there who'd been on fire, and you put Jorge Mateo in center field, and you see that, whatever the hell that was, with him tracking down the ball. And I heard Hyde's comments afterwards, and I don't necessarily agree. Like, if you're going to be analytical, the analytics still have to tell you that when a guy's reverse splits, that maybe you want to keep the lineup the same way that you've had it. And if somebody's hot in your lineup, why not give them the chance to face it?
That's the answer.
Yeah.
Enough with the analytics. I mean, they're very useful, but when someone is hot, trip them up.
Ed, analytics tell you there's no such thing as a cold streak and a hot streak. You are what you are. Like, what analytics tells you. Whether you believe that or not, that's what the math is telling you every single time.
And I don't believe that for a hot second.
Yeah, I have, it's funny, one of the guys, actually, that I buy the algorithm through that I use for baseball, and his big thing is there's no such thing as lefty mashers, and there's no such thing as hot streaks. What do we talk about? Remember when Hanser Alberta was here? Was like, man, he crushes lefties. No such thing as that. And he explains why, just not a large enough sample size to say that those things are true, especially when you have a right-handed hitter hitting lefty pitching. But either way, it's neither here nor there. I just bring it up to kind of, pose this question for people out there, because I've seen people bitching about Hyde, and a lot of it I think is unfair. This one I do think's a little bit fair to be critical of this early in the season, because you can't convince me that guys need days off unless something's barking and they're not telling us. But if Mullins is back in the lineup tonight, then it wasn't just a day off thing. You wanted to give Mateo a shot, and he blew it early. I mean, you never caught back up after that play, and they called a damn triple. It's unbelievable.
No, it isn't. And if – look, I'm a big supporter of Hyde. I think he's done a great job with what he had. You know, he managed the team when he has pitching staff was, you know, crushed last year, and he still ended up making the playoffs. However, decisions like that make me – you know, you have to criticize him, I think, or at least I will, when you do something like that, because I do believe in hot streaks, and Mullen's been hot. Really hot. And he's hitting with power too. It's like he's, and I always think and all these guys have played the sport. I mean, Hyde was a catcher. Mm-hmm. People played sports. We all people on the show have been in athletics. You do get in hot streaks. You do get in a groove. And then when you're out, if you get taken out or you get injured and you haven't been in for a while, it's a little tough getting back into it. At least it was for me. You need repetition. You need reps. And I don't believe in taking guys out that are, you know, they're hot.
Well,
just don't.
Yeah, and again, like I feel like some people have been highly critical of the bullpen moves and not knowing what you have. Like there was even a statement of Hyde. I don't remember if it was before the game or after the game, kind of talking about the guys that he had available from the night before and why he went the route that he did. And you look at it and you go, okay, I can kind of understand that. I think people are really having a hard time, especially on Sundays or getaway days, and you're going to see some wonky lineups from time to time.
Yeah.
But not this early in the season. And again, like when you look at that lineup yesterday, I understand you want to put your right-handed lineup in there, but you had a reverse splits guy. So what does it matter?
Yeah, and you also, your catcher played. Usually catchers are the first guy to get Sunday off.
Yeah.
But it's early, as you said. So I don't know. It's just, at first I was like, well, it's a Sunday game and all that. But I just think Mullen, he's really playing really well right now. Why would you sit him at this time of the season?
I mean, the one honestly thing I don't want to see is, like, look, they let Kowser hit against lefties. You have a lot of guys that have potential to be everyday players. And, you know, when you give them days off, it should be against a tough lefty or maybe someone he doesn't have great numbers against or whatever it may be, or back-to-back days because you have an off day the next day. I get all that. I totally understand it. But when it comes down to this, and look, I'm an analytical guy, I do think sometimes you have to look at things and just say, okay, I got to keep this guy in the lineup, because even if he's not hitting, he's the best center fielder you have. He's probably the best center fielder in the American League. So put his ass out there. You know,
yes.
You just batted him. Like what did he hit him the other day? Fourth or third?
Yes, fourth. He
yeah.
Clean up the other day.
And yeah. And you go, what is that about? And then you just give him the day off the next day? It that didn't make sense to me.
His on-base percentage is .436. His OPS is 1.092. Why would you sit him?
Yeah.
Seriously. 11 RBIs, far and away the leader in the team, 3 home runs. He's hot. He's hot. And he's an outstanding defensive player. I just don't get it.
Hey, Ed, I was just reading here, like, the AI has the best form of it when it comes to basketball, but the hot hand phenomenon, a belief that a player is more likely to make shots after a string of consecutive makes, is a cognitive illusion. And statistically, there's no evidence to support it. They use that same thing, although a little bit differently in baseball, saying, hey, you're facing a different pitcher each time. There's no guarantee you're coming in and seeing it the same way, that hot streaks are, in fact, BS. And again, I feel a little bit differently. I think you do as well. And even being a math guy, I played this my whole life. And, you know, your confidence kind of goes up. And I think that's where it stems from. And I've said this before, confidence is the most dangerous thing in life. Like, if you have it, man, good luck. Yeah, you're going to do better with the ladies. You might even do better in sports. But fact of the matter is, I think it does change when you feel confident.
It's BDE, my friend.
Yes.
It is.
I don't even know what that is.
Yes, you do.
I mean, I do. I've just never had it.
You've heard of it. Yes.
I've seen it on shows. Thank you, HBO. I've seen it on shows. Anyway, but again, like, do you have what we would call a level of concern with the Orioles, or do you feel like they, like, it's still too early to sit here and say, oh my God, you got to do this with starting pitching. But at some point that day could be coming where you're going, you got to call somebody and get something that's better than this, or we're going to see Kyle Gibson real soon.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm real concerned with the team as a whole. I'm concerned with the pitching right now.
They're not hitting much either. When they do, they hit a lot. And when they don't, it's like, woof.
But they got a, that lineup is stacked.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm confident that, you know, it's not going to just be Mullins and, you know, Tyler O'Neill. As the season goes on, you still Westberg's playing well. You still have Adley, Gunner's back, Jackson Holley, Cedric Mullins, like you said, Tyler O'Neill. You got some bats in that lineup, my man.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not worried about that as the season progresses, but they didn't make any big moves. When Burns left, they were going to acquire somebody. They didn't do it, and I get all the reasons why. But you can't win without really good pitching in this league.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. I want to see Kierstead's bat in the lineup as much as I can.
So
and, you know, with the injury to Kowser, like, I'm not trying to listen to this. Well, you know, we're paying our righties, and we got to get those right-handers out there as well against a lefty. And it's like, when you go back to it, Hyde was asked this about 3 or 4 times, and it sounded like he was starting to get frustrated about answering it. But these are the questions you're going to have to answer when the team's not hitting and you make a decision like that to, you know, sit somebody out. So, or sit a couple of guys out. That being said, we're going to talk more Orioles. 410-583-1057. Want to hear from you. Are you starting to get worried about the direction of the team? World of Stupid's coming up at 6:45. You're going to love these stories. Can't wait to get to that. But want to hear from you about the Orioles. 410-583-1057.
You know, the first ball I thought was, we probably misjudged it with the wind a little bit. Kind of a tough play. The second one, amazing to even get to with the speed. Kind of overran it a little bit, I think. But it's something that Georgie works on every single day. He's been working, you know, even in spring training, he works on it. But with the Kowser injury, we've been having him out there a lot. And in drills, he looks good. Yes, but, you know, kind of a tough day today.
It's Brandon Hyde talking about, what do you call him, Georgie? George?
Yep.
Good old
George.
Jorge Mateo?
George.
Yeah. Well, so again, to be fair, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris here, Rob Long's off today. Ed, what did you think about his comments about having him out there? And it's like, we talked about this before, when if Kowser hadn't gotten hurt, who's the odd man out? Is it Mateo that they're sending? You know, he doesn't have any options. Somebody sure enough would claim him. I doubt they would move Ramon. You'd have to figure out how you want to orchestrate the lineup there had Kowser not been hurt. Now, that kind of works itself out, but I'm one of these guys, and I know you love Mateo. I don't see a reason to force him in the lineup unless you feel like he's benefiting you, especially throwing him out in center field.
Well, that's the issue, too. It's the last part of his statement. I mean, he hasn't got a hit this year. he's still waiting to get a hit.
He hit the ground trying to field that ball. Does that count?
Yeah. And I think he's a good middle infielder, but he's not a great outfielder. And you got, you know, maybe the best outfielder you said in, you know, the American League, the center field anyway. And, you know, so he sits, his bat's hot, he's having a great season so far. You put a Mateo, and I am a big fan, but he, you know, he did not have a great day. And I know Hyde's got to say what he said, and, you know, he may look great in drills, and he put him out there. I just don't quite get it. I'm not saying that's the reason they lost the game, but.
Yeah, yeah. But it's still like, again, nobody's sitting here. It does happen early, and you can look at the score and say, oh, that led to this, and then now here we are. Maybe you have a better outing from Povich statistically because, I mean, that should be an error. Mullins, you can't count it an error because then you have to look at it and say, did it touch his glove? Was he able to get there? And just touching his glove, was that enough? But you get what I'm saying. It ends up screwing up the young pitcher's stat line and making him look a lot worse than what he was. But I think Mullins makes that catch 10 out of 10 times.
Oh, me too. If you're down 4-0 in the second inning, it changes the way you pitch. I mean, it changes everything, you know, just getting behind like that. So,
especially when the final was 4-1. You had all these, you know, like, you held them stiff the rest of the way and they couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you know, here you are looking at opportunities that you could have had you not made the mistake in the first.
Right.
And Bobby Witt ending up with a triple and what, you know, should have been an out.
Povich went 6 innings.
Yeah. You know, again, like, if that's called an error, his stat line looks very different, and we're not just beating up the starting pitching. We'll be talking about Charlie Morton and what's going on with Dean Kramer. But other than that, like, it just has to get better. I think the bullpen's been fine in most aspects except that Friday night giving up 5 runs in the, 8th inning or something to kind of put that baby to bed. But other than that, like, it's all about starting pitching, and it doesn't get any easier tonight. You have your best going in Eflin, but you're also facing a guy that just struck out, 13 Yankees and shut down New York when they looked unstoppable.
Yeah.
So Zach Gallen at home. Now, this is a bandbox of a ballpark, so if the bats get going, I mean, you could run him out early. But Gallen's coming off arguably one of his best starts we've seen in years. So Good luck with that.
He's good, man. He just is. He's just good.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a lot of those guys in this league now that we're starting to see. It's just a shame that we don't see them on our team.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's a bit of an issue. I don't know, man. I hope they get their act together fairly soon.
Yeah.
Because, you know, losing a series like this is just not great.
Let's grab some callers here. We've got Trippy in Baltimore. Trippy, hello. What's going on, man?
Hello. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, yep.
Hey, look, Mike. Hey, look, I'm going to be real with you, Jeremy, because I never forget you said, man, Trippy, you're insane. So I don't think the Orioles making the playoffs. I don't care how early it is. But look who we got next. We got the Diamondbacks. I ain't going to lie to you. I think we're going to get swept by the Diamondbacks. We might win two games in the Blue Jays. Then we play the Guardians. Now, you know how the Guardians is. They got the bat. Then we play the Reds. Man, it's going to be an ugly first 2 months for us, man.
I mean, if you're scared of the Reds and the Guardians, then yeah, it is going to be ugly because I ain't scared of either one of those teams, man.
Look,
if you look at the Reds pitching, I don't know that you're afraid of anything. Like, Hunter Green's a good pitcher, but still gives up a ton of hard contact. And when you look at that team up until, what was it, the game on, I want to say Saturday, they had scored like one run in the last four games. Like, the offense had looked putrid up until that point. And the same thing with the Guardians, like, they can pitch well. Their bullpen is supposed to be great. It hasn't been great early on. Ironically, the bats just kind of got going with Jose Ramirez swinging. I mean, he hit three home runs in one game over the weekend. But, again, he does that quite a bit. You're going to see Jose Ramirez, one of those guys who will hit 30 home runs, and then he'll have multi-home run games in like eight or nine of them. You know, it's like it all comes in bunches. That's how I used to feel about DeSean Jackson scoring touchdowns in the NFL. Like, he'd have eight at the end of the year. It's like, he got all those in three games, you know? But that's kind of what Ramirez does. I'm not fearing any one of those teams, but I think if you're being honest to yourself, you're concerned about the starting pitching. Yeah.
All right, man. That's all I wanted. Hey, shout out my guy, Ed, man. Welcome back, man. I hope I catch you at the yard sooner later down picking me up with Sean, man.
I'll see you soon, man. I'll be back next week.
You're going to be back next week. Do I need to take care of you, or are you all right?
You can take care of me.
Oh, see, like this. Yeah, I don't mind being pampered. All right, let's grab another call here. Mike's in Baltimore. Mike, you're on the fan. What's up, man?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Good.
Good.
Hey, Ed, nice hearing you. Nice hearing you on the air again, Ed. Hey, I'm concerned. I mean, it's early, but I'm concerned with the same concerns I had before this even started. And that's the pitching and the Jekyll and Hyde offense. You know, one day we can hit 500 and the next day we can't hit the side of a wall. So, but I'm also, yesterday when I tuned in and I heard that Mateo was in center, I thought Mullins had got hurt or something. And then to find out that he was just sitting, man, we don't have games to experiment with, man. And I don't blame Mullen. I mean, I don't blame Mateo because he don't play center field regularly. But, I mean, we ain't got games to mess around with, man. You know, so, I mean, you kind of – I didn't think the move was necessary, man, especially with Mullen's being hot and all. So, well, I don't know, man. Hopefully – Mike, the ship will get righted.
But. Yeah, and you did say ship, like in the ocean, just so everybody knows. I just want to point that out. Mike, appreciate the phone call, man. Yeah, like, again, this is where I would sit here, and I would disagree with some of the stuff that I saw yesterday. Like, if the lineup is telling you have a reverse splits pitcher and you have enough evidence on it, then I don't think you make the switch to for a guy that's completely analytical. It just didn't make sense to me, especially with all of them. Like, Jackson Holliday's swinging a great bat. You have a great bat. You have reverse splits pitcher. Same thing with Kierstead. I mean, you look at what he's been doing. And then now Mullins, you take three lefties out of the lineup, and I understand it. Like, the analytics or whatever is speaking to you saying, hey, we got to put righties against a lefty. But I don't think yesterday was one of those instances. So that's just me. All right, we've got more to get to here, Ed. The World of Stupid is coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll talk some national championship. Probably not the game everybody thought they were getting, but we're still going to get a good one tonight. But up next, it's the World of Stupid, and Ed, you're going to love some of these. We're going to talk about, man, what's the one thing you don't want your kid putting in his mouth? And this has got to be at the top of the list. I'll tell you that story. How about a virgin bride who can't have sex? I'll tell you why she can't have sex, and it's just... it's a very, very tough story, Ed, to kind of deal with there. And we got to go back to one of the weirdest sex scandals that we've had with a teacher. You're going to remember this girl. one of the hottest teachers you could possibly imagine, and new stuff has come to light, including the text messages and what she was doing with this kid.
I saw.
We get into this. That's coming up next in The World of Stupid. All right, let's start off with this sex scandal, Ed. Another teacher scandal, which I always like to bring up. Ed successfully bedded two of his teachers. Maybe I wasn't supposed to. That was okay to bring up, right, Ed? We've talked about it before.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Because I think you're the only one that got away, right? Like, there's one of these stories every week, every day. It's ridiculous. But this was a really popular one with the girl named Brittany Zamora. I reshared this story here at JCon Sports on Twitter, X, whatever the hell you want to call it. Because now they've interviewed the kid, and this is where you start to realize that, it's a 13-year-old kid. I mean, we all as guys like, hey, it's cool, he banged a hot teacher. And in actuality, I mean, this is still pretty disgusting what this woman did. But and it all started, he said it started because she reached in initially to pick something up off the floor, and she grazed his, as he put it, stuff. If you're going to call your penis stuff, I think you're probably a little immature, right? That's not something you're not typically going to say. And I don't mean that as, like, immature as being childish. I guess I do. But, like, kid-like. That's stuff kids say. This is my stuff, you know? And then they had to ask him what he meant by stuff. And then, obviously, he said the word penis. He remembered their first kiss saying... he was saying goodbye to her after class one day while everyone was in a parent-teacher meeting in her brightly colored sixth-grade classroom. Zamora grabbed his shirt, pulled him in for a hug and a kiss. Once again, he said she touched his stuff there. she sent him naked pictures of herself being nude and wearing lingerie. One day, the boys were supposed to stay late after school to help prepare for a talent show. Instead, she kept them in the room and began kissing the victim. The friend told the police interviewer she asked the friend to stay and make sure no one saw that they had sex in the classroom. 13-year-old kid, and then you see the text messages between them. You've seen all of this already. It's crazy to think that someone actually thought they'd get away with this first off, but then it shows you the illness behind it because that's what's blocking everything. You don't think.
Well, you know what's really so glaring to me, just reading the text messages? These are, you know, text messages you'd see between somebody in a relationship. They're all sexual. Mm-hmm. Oh, baby, I wish you're here with me. Oh, babe, when can you blank me again? All that stuff. But what's really just sticks out to me, her name in his phone is Mrs. Zamora.
I just saw it too.
It's like... I think in what was it? That's My Boy. Didn't he keep saying his teacher's name when Adam Sandler, when he slept with his teacher, and they have their kid out of, you know, and she's in jail, and they have this whole thing. But if you haven't seen That's My Boy, it is stupid funny. But that's the whole premise behind this movie, that the guy slept with his teacher, became famous because of it, and she went to jail, and then obviously he's trying to rekindle the relationship with the kid. But seeing these texts and reading it, it is very just off-putting, I guess you could say.
Ugh.
And people are going to look at her going, she's so beautiful, you can have anybody you want. That's not how this works, guys.
Yeah, well, that's who she wanted. It's just, you know.
Yeah. Let's get to these next two stories real quick. You're going to love this one. I'm a virgin bride who can't have sex due to a rare medical condition I discovered on my wedding night. This woman cannot have sex. Her name's Sarah Jones Green. She's 44, brought up in a Christian household and waited until marriage to have sex. But according to doctors, her hymen is so thick that there's nothing they can do with it. So she can't.
What?
Yeah. This is the story. Discover her hymen is so thick, she's unable to have sex. In 2020, at the age of 40, she met her now husband, Martin Green, and life began to take off. On their wedding night, they attempted to have sex for the first time, but the new bride found it to be way too painful. Here we go. A general practitioner soon afterwards performed a physical examination and found Sarah has a condition called, God bless it, microperforate hymen, I don't know, a condition where the hymen is very thick but has a single small opening, Ed. She might be perfect for me then. I've never heard of anything like this, and it just seems like you're finding out new ways that people's lives can be ruined, because I'm sure this has to be, you hadn't had it in forever, you know, and it's like, hey, I wonder what this is like. Nope.
I mean, a hymenectomy fixes this.
Does it?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing yet.
It's a thing.
Well, do you go in and perform? Is that how it works?
Yes.
Ma'am, I'll be performing the examination today.
I have a lot of time in my hands now, so come on down.
Let me get to this last story, and I hope you haven't read the headline. The one thing you definitely don't want your toddler to put in his mouth. Ed, do you have a guess?
I do, but I'm not going to say it.
Well, it's not that one. This toddler ate basically its grandfather's ashes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a UK mom walked into an unthinkable situation when she found her one-year-old with her father's urn and the cremated remains lying all over the floor and even putting them in the kid's mouth. Check out the clip. No, thank you. Natasha Emini, a Lincolnshire mother, is in disbelief as she analyzes the shocking scene. Now, let me ask you a serious question. You never tell the kid about this, right?
No.
Like, I keep it from him from the rest of his life. Like, I don't know if it would mess somebody up. It would have had to have been so long ago that you're thinking maybe it wouldn't be a big deal, but I could see someone just start dry heaving right off the thought of it.
I don't know. It depends on the kid, how he turns into, when he becomes a man, like, what his personality's like. You could tell me.
Well, I get that. Yeah. Well, you've got all kinds of issues. I mean, I do too, but ours are different. Issues, yeah. Yes. But here's the other part of it is she said he didn't consume all that much. She thinks it was about three toes and maybe a hand. No, I'm kidding. That's not. She said he didn't eat that much. So she didn't, like, it's not this shock and all, like, oh my God, my poor baby. But, and then later told everybody, this is not an April Fool's joke. This actually happened.
Yeah.
She has the pictures of it as well. So that's your world of stupid. Oof. Disgusting. Disgusting. All right. Coming up in hour number two, we got plenty we're going to go over. Talk some more Orioles. We talk Ovechkin. But up next, national championship. It's Houston. That's right. Houston knocked off Duke. And we get to talk about their matchup with Florida, who came back against Auburn. Both games were tremendous. We break it down for you coming up right here on 105.7 The Fan.